In the name of Jesus. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, which means that the end comes not when you've had enough, not when you're sure you're ready, not when you've finished all that you've set out to do, or not when it suits you. Just like the beginning, the end is determined by our Lord. And so you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming, either for you or for the end of the world. And that doesn't sit very well with us, does it? Not because of the uncertainty, but because it means we have no control. No choice, no vote, no voice. And so it sometimes feels as if life is nothing more than a game with some predetermined outcome, as if someone else is pulling the strings. And we hate that, really, because we love to believe that we control our destiny and that we're the masters of our own fate. Now, in one sense, you are. That's what Jesus says in today's gospel. But the destiny that you control and the fate that you master isn't when, but how things will end. The key isn't when you'll die, but how. Just like the key wasn't when you were born, but how you live. How do you live? How do you live? Do you live moment by moment without a thought for tomorrow, without a care for others, without any regard or little regard for how your actions affect others? Or maybe you don't live moment to moment. Maybe your existence is much more well planned. With unwavering goals, with a very clear idea about how you want your life to be and how you're going to get there. Throughout the scriptures, and at every divine service, really, we're urged not to live for ourselves, but to live to the Lord by living for others, with all that we are and with all that we have. And we're to do that not because those are the rules, but because we're one body, one fellowship, one communion together in Him. Because being in Christ and feeding on Him and living in Him is what is saving me and what's saving you. But here's the dilemma. In today's gospel, we hear that the five wise virgins refused to share their oil with the five foolish virgins. And because of this, the five foolish virgins missed the bridegroom, and they were then refused entrance to the heavenly banquet. Is Jesus then unteaching what he's taught us before? Is he saying, love your neighbor as yourself? That is, until it's crunch time, until the end, when all bets are off and it's every man for himself. Well, no, of course not. Jesus is urging us to believe that our communion with each other in God is what prepares us for the end. The baptism you have received, the sacrament you eat, the word of consolation that you hear and take to heart, that's what readies you for the Lord's coming on your last day. because those things are his things. It's his blood that's poured over you in the font. It's his blood that's consumed by you at his altar. And it's the comfort of his saving blood that's preached to you from the pulpit. Now, if you neglect these things, if you live as if Holy Communion is just another event to be squeezed into your already busy agenda, then you neglect the things that make peace for you. That's what the foolish virgins did. They lived as if the oil of God's word and sacraments was something that they could get only when they felt the need, only when they felt they were ready. And in the end, they actually believed that they could latch on to the faith and grace given to someone else. So they begged. They begged, but they were refused. Not because the wise were selfish or uncaring, but because the foolish forgot. They forgot that living for others is possible only when you live in communion with God and his church. The wise are wise because they believe that there's nothing that brings them through life except God's grace. And so the wise know that the oil given in word and sacrament that needs to be received time and again. Otherwise, the flame of faith will be dimmed. And in the end, they'll be scurrying around looking for anyone or anything that promises help. And now you can understand both the gravity and the meaning of our Lord's final word. Before he leaves and until he returns, he says, "Watch. Watch, therefore." Now that's not a threat. It's an encouragement. It's an encouragement for us not to forget this one thing, that life is lived not just in this world, but toward the world to come. And the only thing that connects those two is this holy meal, where the bridegroom is truly present as both host and food. It's in this meal that Jesus both calls and draws us to live in him, and then gives us the strength to live to him by living for others. Again, in Jesus' holy name.